Can I just get a show of hands of anybody who just felt a transcendent moment just now? I want you to think just for a moment about everything in your life that brought you to this present moment. We talked about this some last week, about how all the decisions and choices that we made, what we might call mistakes and what we might call, you know, glorious achievements, have all been a part of our journey, for good or for bad, if you want to put a label on it. They've all brought us to this present moment. So this moment was filled with this beautiful harmony that these four people created, an alchemy that brought something to us that elevated us. And so if we look at every moment in our lives with that kind of perfection, then we begin to see the patterns of things. We begin to see the blessings in every moment. We begin to see that we're capable of having those transcendent times no matter what we're doing. No matter what we're doing. So I know that your mind probably went to something in which you thought, well, except for that moment, that would not have been transcendent. So we don't have to feel transcendence in order to see the perfection in things. You understand what I'm saying? So because Kit and Julie and Katie Marie and Jeff Stocky are doing what their hearts call them to do, they created this thing, and no matter how much they might have rehearsed together, they've created this thing this morning that has never existed before. That's a miracle right there, isn't it? And we are part of that creation. We are not only the beneficiaries of it, but we are also the contributors to it. Isn't that astounding? I think we're kind of designed so that becoming mindful of that is more of a deliberate action, a deliberate choice, than it is our default position. Our default position is toward inertia and sameness. And we get stuck there. And we get into patterns, and we get into habits, and we get into ways of thinking and ways of acting, ways of speaking. They just are a mirror of the day before. Because that's also kind of a law of physics. It'll go back toward inertia unless it has something that keeps propelling it forward. So you got a good boost out of your inertia by hearing this morning, and by hearing that lovely gathering prayer that Abby brought to us today. And it's because hearts are listening to what they're called to and they're acting on it, you see. And that's what I want to talk about today, is us doing that. So last week I spoke a little bit about how Unity and New Thought stepped out of the norm of traditional religious thinking back in the late 19th century. And it kind of built on Ralph Waldo Emerson. It built on the scientific explorations that were going on at the same time. They kind of tagged on to the new field of psychology. And so I know that when I came into Unity, it was satisfying for me, something that my head had known for a long time. So my head and my heart got to be aligned with each other when I came to Unity, when I began to explore New Thought. And I have a feeling that's why most of you are here today, is because it satisfies something that answers all those questions. It also could put us at odds with our family members and friends who might not understand New Thought, or who are afraid to understand New Thought. I won't mention the sister's name that did this, but I had been in Unity. I'd gone through ministerial school, and I was into my second year of active ministry, and she said, "Now, y'all don't believe in Jesus, do you?" I went, yeah, we do. We're, you know, Christian and all. Jesus and Christianity. And she went, "Oh, I thought y'all didn't go for that." So, yeah, we go for that. We go for that Jesus stuff. Because we look to Jesus Christ as a master teacher. And it just so happens that we were born in a time and a place in which that's the way we go. But we also listen to the teachings of the Buddha and the teachings of Islam. And we listen to the teachings of all the great masters. Because truth is truth is truth. And they're all streams that are in the same river, flowing the same direction. So as we come into that, then we also take on the responsibility of self-actualization, self-determination, through the guidance of the Spirit that lives within us. And that's much more challenging and exciting than having a codified way of living because the religion established it so. You see? That's, to me, an easier route. Because if you've got a set of rules that you have to follow, then you don't have to think for yourself. Those rules are laid out for you, and all you have to do is follow those. Now, I'm not knocking traditional religion, because we can also take our teachings that we have in New Thought back to those places where we might have been oriented in our early lives and begin to reframe and rephrase and infuse that with a different life. Somebody sent me this week, it was a meditation that was being done by an Anglican priest in England in an English garden with tea set up on a table behind him. And I just listened to that priest talk, and it was probably the British accent, but it was comforting to me. I used to be Episcopalian. And so there's something about the cadence of the words and the rhythms of the liturgy that are familiar and comforting, even though I may not always agree with them. Sometimes the cadence of it puts me in a meditative place. Besides the fact that there was a cat standing on the tea table behind the priest that was almost more fascinating, well, actually more fascinating than the priest, because the kitty figured out which one was the cream pitcher and dipped its paw in, and, you know, smart kitty knew exactly where to go. But I thought that's just lovely. We don't have to throw out the baby with the bathwater. You also are not damned to eternal hell if you do something wrong. Yeah. So that's a good thing. That's a relief, right? Yeah. So you won't get hell and brimstone, fire and brimstone from here. You know that. Yeah. But you will get an accounting to yourself and to people you share the journey with, because that's what we do. We are in the process. You know, a lot of people would say that self-actualization, self-realization is selfish. It's not. It is just the opposite. Thank you, Lee. It's just the opposite of that. By realizing our divine potential, then we are making the whole world a better place. I think we forget that sometimes. Because, you know, when you first came into truth, do you remember that pink cloud period of time? Where everything was light and joy, because you were liberated from the old way of thinking, and you were just like, "Oh, this is great." And then the first challenge comes along, and you're just like, "But I didn't sign up for this. Thank you." Yes, I want to experience my whole self. Well, what's going to happen is your whole self is going to emerge. And Ed talked about psychology just a moment ago. Carl Jung would say, yeah, and here comes the shadow. And I'm going to talk about that more at the end of the month. But what I want to say today is that we're about, now that we know that we are worthy of wonder, remember last week, those of you that were here, we're worthy of wonder. You could say, I am worthy of wonder, and I would ask you to do so. Together, I am worthy of wonder. And I'll let you work on saying that with conviction when you're at home looking at yourself in the mirror, okay? Because I saw some of you go, I am worthy of wonder. Pretty sure it sounded just like that. I am worthy of wonder. Oh, my God, she's making us talk out loud in church. I am worthy of wonder. Okay, I did it. Don't miss the point that you're worthy of wonder. And so what are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with that whole self now, with all its bits? What are we going to do with that whole self as we listen to the voice of the Christ, the voice of the divine? What are we going to do with it? I don't even remember now who it's originally attributed to, because some say it's Nelson Mandela, and some say it's Marianne Williamson, and some say it's Irma Bombeck. I don't know. Said that we're not afraid as much of making mistakes or failing as we are of becoming who we really are. We're afraid of our own greatness. And so when we come into truth, we think, oh, yes, I'm invincible. I can do anything. Until you discover that maybe there's a little bit of work that needs to be done before you can do anything. And so we walk that line between knowing truth, knowing our greatness, and living in humility with that. Not humiliated. Please understand the difference there. Humility is walking humbly with your God, as it says in Micah. Walk humbly with your God. You can be all that and not be all that. You know what I mean? Because it's important for you to know, yes, I am my unique, extraordinary, wonderful creation. And I'm part of the all. I am as large and as great as the universe, and this earthly life is but a blink in the eye of God. And so we have to learn to live with that paradox, don't we? And we have to, we must. And I probably give imperatives more than I should. I probably say should more than I should. But we have an imperative to discover how great we are in regards to our contribution to life. All the time. All the time. And when you mess up, you just say, oh, messed up. If I did any damage, I'm sorry. It means you walk into a situation, if you find yourself kind of cringing and holding back, what's doing that? What's keeping you from being your fantastic self? And friends, I want you to understand that this is not Tony Robbins or Napoleon Hill or any motivational speaker standing here. This is about us being whole and true. And I could give you tools all day long. You've got a 1-week plan, if you got a 1-year plan, if you got a 5-year plan, if you got a 10-year plan. I never did that. I'm not one of those people that does that. And I have tremendous respect for people that do. But I will envision in my mind what seems to be the next part of my actualization in expressing myself to life and move in that direction with the flexibility for getting around obstacles and roadblocks, for changing that vision, making a little course correction, for saying, ah, this wasn't it, but it headed me in the right direction. And it doesn't matter where we are in our lives. We've got people sitting here that are in the first quarter of their lives, the first half of their lives, and we've got people sitting here who are in the last 75 to 100% of their lives. It doesn't matter. If you think that you fulfilled your earthly purpose, you can leave. But I'm noticing you're still here. You're still here. You're not done. You're not done. There is always more for us to express of the divine, because the divine is nature. Its nature is to continue to unfold. That's what God, the great, unknowable, undefinable, that's what God does, is express more of itself. Even if all life were to be wiped out on this planet, do you think that's the end of life in the universe? Heavens no. I was talking with my mom yesterday. Great conversation with my mother. So grateful to have her here still. She's not done yet. And we were talking about my dad, who passed in November, and I still miss him terribly. And I feel his presence. And it's different than I felt my granny's presence after she passed, or any of my best friends in life who have gone on. It's all been different. And so I feel my dad continuing to express himself beyond the confines of the body that he wore here for a while. Are we ever done? Now, if the thought of that makes you go, oh God, I'm so tired of my spiritual growth. I get it. I get tired of my spiritual growth. Do you get tired of your spiritual growth sometimes? I mean, just like, can I get a break already? I'm tired of growing up. I don't want to grow up anymore. And we do that. We're like, don't make me grow. But it's not a task. It's a joy. It is a mantle we wear with ease because it's lightweight. It's no weight. We just put it on. We can't help but do that. We have opened a door we can't shut, my friends. You know? We've opened a door we can't shut. So my challenge to you today is, if you get to know yourself completely, and you are always, I hope, getting to know yourself better, you're also getting to know God better. That's what you're doing. You're getting to know God better by getting to know yourself better. Wow. That also means that as you get to know other people better, you get to see more of God, no matter what you judge it to be. Okay? You know, seven of the world leaders are meeting right now in the UK. And it doesn't matter what our judgments are about any of those world leaders. They got chosen, and they're trying to make some determination for the good of the planet, for better or for worse. Would it hurt for us to send some prayers their direction? I don't think so. I don't think it would hurt at all. I think it would be nice if they knew that right here in Wimberley, Texas, and beyond, those of you that are watching us online, that right here in this spiritual community, we are supporting seven world leaders in the UK. We're saying, go. Do the right thing. Make us all better. Make the planet better. And see, if you got judgments about any of those world leaders, any of them, you have to take a deeper breath. Not just one breath, but a nice deep breath, and say, okay, at the very least, their sum is greater than their parts. And that's what we can think also about ourselves. Our sum is greater than our parts. Another person that we judge, their sum is greater than their parts. Anybody been driving around the hill country and seen all the motorcycles? Yeah. Have any judgments? Nope. Answer. Don't answer. Everyone's sum is greater than their parts. All of us together, our sum is greater than our parts, but it's important that our parts be part of the sum to lift humanity. So what are you doing today? Where is your growing edge? And this is not a tough homework assignment. This is one that you look at and go, okay. That's interesting. You can always say that about yourself. You can practice by saying it with somebody else. Oh, that's interesting. Very interesting. So when you notice something about yourself, you're going, oh, I didn't see that before. Here's the good news. You have a built-in companion to walk you through that. The same Christ that lived in Jesus, the same Spirit that lives in all the great teachers and leaders, lives in you. And you have to know that. You have to know that all the time, every day. You have to know that. Don't ever let yourself, see, here's an imperative, don't ever let yourself think otherwise. And go, yeah, well, I'm not that today. Yep, you're that all the time. You're that when you're dreaming. You're that when you're taking a shower. You're that all the time. That spirit. And so if that puts you in a little bit of awe, it should. Because it's awesome. And what we love about the great teachers is that they were the example of saying, oh, wow, okay, let me go live this then and show it to people. Let me answer the call of my heart and do that. You know, I don't know what Jesus was doing till he was 30. Learning to be a carpenter, I guess. Can I just throw in my old joke that y'all have heard me tell before? Yeah. Because maybe you forgot it, and I can take a chance you'll laugh again. But, you know, there was that thing about them making the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, going to Jerusalem when Jesus was 12. And he wasn't with the caravan going back, and Mary went back into town, and Jesus was teaching in the temple. He was 12 years old. We don't hear from him again till he's 30. So I just always say Mary grounded him for those 18 years. Okay, well, so at 30, Jesus emerged and said, okay, I'm going to go do it. Let me go get baptized. Watch what happens. And then he taught for 3 years, and then he died, and then he showed what life after death was like. And 2,000 and something years later, we're still going, wow. Whatever happened, wow. And the Buddha said, I think I'm going to go sit under a tree until I can figure this out, until something happens. And he did. And now millions of people follow that teaching. And Muhammad had a visitation, and he got all the information. And we have to pay attention to that, my friends. There's a great old story about what if the Messiah is one of us. It's a great story. I'll tell it to you sometime. But what if one of us is the Messiah? What if we treated each other that way? What if we acted that way? Because you know a Messiah is not going to run around going, hey, I'm the Messiah. Messiah's going to have that built in that's just like, wow, how can I serve humanity? And that's what we do. How can I serve humanity? What's my unique purpose? What am I doing to lift up all of humanity? What am I doing? It might just be in my neighborhood. It might just be with one person at a time. It might be through my prayer that sends out an energy that makes the world better. How am I doing that? Next week, Kit's going to be speaking with you about masculine energy, how we put the energy that we've got together in order to produce something, in order to be that, which is what we came here to be. And then we'll talk about some of the roadblocks at the end of the month, some of the things that pop up as we're doing that. But today, it's a reminder to you, you have a job here. You've got a job. And it doesn't matter where you are in your life journey. I wanted to share with you today, this was actually from Father Richard Rohr today with the Center for Action and Contemplation. And I just happened to look at it this morning. I went, well, that'll fit. He talks about our self-image being created by conditioning and wanting to please people when we were little. And it goes on from there. You know the whole Jungian model for that. But our wisdom has to do with, he says, the necessary shadow work and the emergence of healthy self-critical thinking, which alone allows us to see beyond our own shadow and disguise and to find out who we are, hidden with Christ in God, as Paul puts it. The Zen masters call it the face we had before we were born. I love that. This self cannot die, lives forever, and is its true self. It's our true self. Religion is always in some way about discovering our true self, which is also to discover God, who is our deepest truth. So that's what keeps it from becoming divine navel gazing, if you will. Because we're not just doing this for us. We're doing this so that more of God is revealed through us into the world, so that we are enriched every day by a greater knowledge of God. Yesterday, bless my poor kids, I got home in the afternoon. I had been working hard, and I was hot, I was tired, and I was hungry. Bad combination, bad, bad, bad combination. And I hit the house like a house of fire. Did I not, Alex? Yeah, yeah. The son is acknowledging the truth of that statement. And I got to the house, and I'm like, let's get this done, let's get this done, let's get this done. I'm so tired and hot and hungry. And in that moment, I discovered how my 8-year-old acts when she's hot and tired and hungry, and I expressed her thoroughly. And then I had to turn right around and make my amends to the people on whom I had unloaded my 8-year-old, because I'm greater than that. And we have to know our greatness in order to know our humility, in order to be able to say, oh, messed up, sorry. We have to be able to do that all the time. We have to be able to say, I may not be living up to my full potential right now. Let me just center myself for a moment and see who I really am and be that. And before I go into our meditation this morning, I just want to acknowledge Kit Holmes and I have known each other for a very long time. She found this program from the Downtown Unity Circle, which now has a different name in Austin, Unity in the Heart of Austin. And this is a little program from Sunday, October the 18th, 2009, in which the message was delivered by Reverend Jill C. Carey and the special music by Kit Holmes. October 18th, 2009. And this wasn't the first time we'd been together. So I just want to acknowledge that by listening to my heart song and Kit listening to her heart song, we met up all those years ago, having no idea that in 2018 we would come to you in this manner and be who we are with you, and that you would feed us the way you do, and that there would be this beautiful convergence of souls. No idea in 2009. But I tell you that so that you too might acknowledge that an action, a realization, an expression today has a ripple effect that you cannot yet see the fulfillment of. Trust it. Trust the action. Trust the being. Trust the effect. So let's take a moment to be a little quieter, for you to breathe into your heart. Wherever you are today, no matter what you're experiencing, whether your life feels juicy and rich, or whether your life is going through one of those dry, darker periods, it's all part of the divine flow. It's all part of a grander design than we can see all at once. And because we live in a space and time construct, it is a blessing that life remains a mystery from day to day. It is wondrous and awesome, as are you. So this time of meditation is for you to be in your heart, in that sacred chamber with your God. Just you and God. This is very intimate. In which you have that conversation without words. That conversation in which you remember why you came here. Look for that face that was there before you were born. Remember that your soul reaches out not only to the past and the future, but to those rounder dimensions beyond our sight. And once you've gotten hold of that grander vision of yourself, and come back into this body that you inhabit, this body with its history, this body with its aches and its journey, marked with milestones and obstacles and victories and birth and death and renewal and falling away. And beloved, even if you shared DNA with a sibling, still, yet, you are unique. For you're greater than this body, and yet it is your vessel. It's your vehicle for expression. It is in your eyes and your words, your touch, the movement of your feet. Just keep breathing. Beloved, if you will, make sure you throw in a healthy dash of compassion for yourself and for others. For we're all just on the journey. All of us, each of us. So knowing who you are, will you now extend your blessing to all the people in this room, to your family and friends beyond this place? And will you embrace all of humanity, near and far? It never hurts to put out a blessing from your heart. And yes, we send a blessing to those world leaders now and in all the days to come, that we might be better people, better to each other, better to our planet. And I open my eyes now to those who are with us from afar, to extend the blessing of hand and heart, just as I do to you. When you're comfortable, open your eyes. Let's see each other, shall we? Let's just really see each other. We take our courage and our strength from these connections, don't we? And aren't we so glad to be sitting here with each other? It is very good. And so, if you got some pilgrim hands today, this is universal, my friends. For in this is the universe, and in this is our humility. In this is our surrender to the great goodness. In this is our willingness. In this is our knowing. And so it is.